Blog Talk Radio. That is out with the old and in with the new.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining me today. This is Rayanne Thorne, HR Latte. We are finishing up our series, our month-long series on the employee experience. And I'm very excited to welcome Master Burnett as my guest today. We'll be talking about collaborative learning and what's going on over at his organization, Brave New Talent. Thanks, Master, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Ryan.
It's always a pleasure. I am looking forward to learning more about what you have going on and specifically about collaborative learning, peer-to-peer learning, the changes in the workplace environment that learning can bring, and whether or not it aids in retention of quality talent. So let's kick it off right away. I would love for you to give us an intro of who you are and what you do, where you reside.
Sure. So my name is Master Burnett. I'm currently the Director of Strategy at a social learning platform company called Brave New Talent. Prior to joining Brave New Talent, I worked as a strategist in the field of HR with Dr. John Sullivan and Associates, and had an opportunity to look at emerging best practices and next practices in a wide array of leading firms around the world, and drew many conclusions from my observations in those organizations about the future direction of learning and collaborative work in general.
Great. So let's kick it off. This show goes really fast and furious. Past guests cannot understand how we got to the end of the show so quickly. So if I sound like I'm talking fast, tell me, hey, Ray, slow down a little bit, and we'll slow it down and try and make sure we get as much information packed in as possible. I know that it takes people away from their work to join us, and I really want to make sure that we get as much information in our 30-minute show slot as possible. Master, tell me, how important is learning and development to an employee? What have you discovered over at Brave New Talent about this type of activity, what it means to the employee, to their experience as being a part of a particular workforce?
It's a great question, and I think we often look at it from the wrong perspective. You know, many organizations and many HR leaders look at learning and development from the organization's perspective. They don't ever step back and say, you know, what role does learning and development play for the employee, and how do we participate in their natural process? So, you know, there's a number of key trends that really indicate the importance of this. For one, many people are changing roles much, much more quickly than ever before. And they're doing so because it's the fastest way to get access to an opportunity that challenges you. So, you know, if you're in your role for a period of time and you're just no longer challenged and you're no longer developing as a person, it's often faster and many times easier to pursue a role with another organization than it is to try to seek out or change the current situation in your own organization. And that's because organizations really aren't addressing this inherent need for employees to change and develop as quickly as the world around them is changing and developing. The other thing we have to really consider, and this isn't true for all professions, but it's true for a significant number and a growing number, is the knowledge that we enter a year with and the knowledge that we exit a year with are often radically different. Roles are changing so quickly as technology and new approaches and automation influence many aspects of our daily work environment that for employees to not be able to seek out new knowledge and new pathways and new ways to develop themselves really creates a situation where they can make themselves obsolete in a very, very short period of time. And while employees don't often think about that, they most certainly think about career longevity. So I think we have the wrong language around learning and development, because employees, very few think about self-development and developing themselves, but they do think about career sustenance and career maintenance and career performance. And so when they're issued a challenge or an opportunity that requires knowledge that they don't have, oftentimes the fastest way for them to get that is through self-development. But they don't think about it as self-development.
I love that you mentioned lifelong. You know, Albert Einstein, who's pretty well known for his ability to learn his entire life, said that intellectual growth should commence at birth and cease only at death. And so I think the value of those words and the value of what you just shared are so important for when we consider the retention of quality employees, right? So is learning and development important when it comes to retention? Should employers start to consider beyond the candidate experience? We've spent so much time in the HR and the recruiting world, industries and the technologies that support those industries talking about the candidate experience. And of course, it's important to create a quality candidate experience in order to attract the right type of talent to your organization. But once we have attracted that talent and we've got them in place, they're sitting in a cubicle or they have an office or they're out on the road on behalf of our company, how important is it to offer these learning opportunities in order to keep those employees in place? Does it play a part in retention? Should employers start to consider this?
It does play a huge role in retention. And you know, we have this, the HR profession in general has a very bad track record of looking at itself as an administrative function. And administrative actions are often linear processes. And so we get you know, stuck into dealing with this portion of a linear process flow, which we call recruiting. And, you know, we build a relationship, we court, we identify a person's personal interests, we try to align those to a role, we get them into an organization, and some would argue that the situation they enter and the situation they thought they were entering are often radically different. But we get them into the organization, and that's where we stop with relationship management. When in reality, we should have relationship management throughout the life cycle of that person's career. And I say career because I don't want to say employee. In many, many cases, you have ongoing valuable relationships with people who have even left the organization. And so I think relationship management and knowledge transfer and knowledge development is something that once you've established a relationship between an employer and an individual, it's a lifelong or career-long relationship. And many alumni bounce back to an organization. So, and we often tap alumni for their knowledge, particularly when we encounter a critical incident in which someone's past knowledge of dealing with those situations may not exist inside the organization any longer. So from a retention perspective, development opportunities play a major, major role. And you've seen some organizations build some very interesting practices to help solve that. So you've had organizations that have entire staffing teams whose sole role is to source for under-leveraged talent in the organization and to redeploy that in roles that
right.
make more sense.
Okay. I'm going to let you grab a drink of water. I know that you're recovering from a bit of a cold there. So thanks again for joining me today, Master Burnett. You are listening to HR Latte. This is Rayanne Thorne, your host. This whole month we've been discussing the employee experience. You know, we've been talking about how HR law, how HR in general can benefit the employee, moving on through social giving, and the difference that it makes to employees. Today we are discussing the learning and development side of human resources and how it can benefit an employee and moving beyond that whole employment branding and talent attraction side of the equation and really concentrating on benefiting the employees so that they become a valued asset to the organization, offering them opportunities to grow, to learn, whether it's leadership development or just learning a whole nother side of the business, allowing them to increase knowledge. And one of the reasons that I wanted to have Master on this show is the work that he is doing at Brave New Talent. And so, Master, if you could, I'd like for you to just give us an idea of what you have seen so far when it comes to collaborative learning, and how has Brave New Talent had an effect on this when it comes to retention?
Again, it's a great question and really emerging space. In most organizations, when we think about learning and development technology, we think about the learning management system. And, you know, most LMSs were born in the 90s. They came out of, again, a highly administrative process, and they're really the home of compliance learning. That's what learning management systems are really all about, maintaining compliance. They're about delivering content that we need to confirm a person has consumed, that we need to record their progression with, and that we need to test their comprehension of. And unfortunately, when it comes to the fast-paced work environment that we all live in today, most employees are presented with challenges that require learning and development on a life cycle that the traditional learning and development organization cannot manage to. You know, if we're presented with an emerging business challenge and I've got 3 weeks to develop a solution, there simply isn't time to go through a formal process of course development, content creation, content curation, and content procurement to bring the workforce up to speed so that they can start to devise a solution to the emerging problem. In reality, the employee is going to go off on a self-directed path, and the employees of that team are going to go off on a self-directed path. And they're not going to consider it development. They're not going to consider it learning. They're considering it job-related research. But it is learning and development. It's contributing to their knowledge set. And so what we've really seen is that most of the technologies that are in use in learning and development really don't address, one, the employee's need to run self-directed learning exercises on an ad hoc basis in real time throughout the organization, nor do we see them attempting to capture and leverage knowledge, emergent knowledge, that is obtained through those self-directed exercises. And so what we're currently doing at Brave New Talent is trying to create a highly social, highly collaborative environment that enables peers to share what they're discovering, to share what they're creating from a knowledge perspective inside an organization, and to allow organizations to layer on top of those conversations and those introductions of knowledge, curated knowledge related to the long-term objectives of the organization, but to take the presentation of that content out of the traditional learning management system presentation mode and instead present that content in a highly social, highly conversational way.
So what are the different, products that are out there right now? You mentioned an LMS. A lot of the larger organizations that are part of HR information management system include a section that says, hey, this is our learning management system. There's also, we've heard a lot about MOOCs, M-O-O-Cs out there. So give us a rundown of what learning tools are out there for HR, for the employee.
Yeah, for the employee, let's be completely honest. The number one learning tool, Google. Search engine.
There you go.
It's the predominant way people are discovering knowledge. And now the knowledge they discover may have context to an industry, may have context to a particular situation. And so on top of those platforms, you do have collaboration environments. inside organizations, that employees can possibly share a link to that knowledge, possibly share why they're sharing it. So you've got social platforms, enterprise social platforms. You've got collaboration platforms, which really just extend a little workflow management on top of enterprise social platforms. You've got learning management systems. And within learning management, you have knowledge management systems. Any one of us who have worked for a large corporation have encountered a knowledge management system. There are these archaic, beastly platforms that even in the most well-adopted organization manage to obtain 10 to 15% adoption among the workforce. And where they tend to gain adoption is in highly technical, highly scientific work teams that are not only engaged in the activity of content review related to their roles, but in content production and research production related to their roles. Outside of that, again, the vast majority of the workforce are not self-motivated learners. They don't think about development, staff development, and workforce development, and employee development, and self-development from a learning and development perspective. They think about it from, oh, crap, I've been assigned something, and I don't really know how to do it. I need to learn how to do it. But they don't couch that whole activity as a learning exercise, and the organization does very little to capture the scope of that exercise and the outcome of that exercise and to augment the employee's profile with that new knowledge, skill, or ability that was developed during that stretch assignment.
So let's talk about how Brave New Talent is approaching this particular issue. What I've learned over the years in my work is if there is a tool out there available, it is either a benefit or it's a detriment to whatever the problem is that it's trying to solve, right? So I want to get to the heart of this. Let's talk about how collaborative learning has changed, learning and development within an organization, how it can change, what the difference is. Is it gamification of learning? Is it driving a competitive realism into learning? How is it becoming something that more and more people are listening to, can see the benefit? Can you answer any of that for me?
Absolutely. So the one major realization that every organization, every HR leader needs to accept is that every employee has personal preferences. And there is such a plethora of tools available to the individual outside of the organizational context that when I do encounter a stretch situation or a situation where I need to learn, my first reliance is upon my personal tools of choice. I may have my own personal search engine that I choose to use. I may have my own social bookmarking tool or Evernote or note-taking platform that I choose to use. But chances are I've already developed the tools and found the tools that I rely on. And the organization asking the employee in an ad hoc, unstructured way to give up the tools that they've discovered and that personally meet their needs and to embrace a tool that was selected for the most part by a small team with a very limited perspective is just not realistic. People are going to find knowledge content using the tools of their choice, and they're going to continue to share knowledge content via the tools of their choice. For some, that's email. I discover a great article. If I'm really old school, I may print it to PDF and share the PDF via email. If I'm less old school, I may just share the link to it. I could share it via Twitter. A lot of people share content they discover via Twitter. I could be one of those people who have lost interest in Twitter and share it via Facebook. But regardless of how I do it, I have my sharing channels, and I'm going to share content. That's my established behavior. Employers need to recognize that employees aren't going to change that behavior and instead start to embrace the fact that, hey, we have employees who are discovering knowledge and sharing knowledge. How can we participate in that exercise?
And yeah, I love that. I think that the majority of people today are sharing links either in group messages or groups on LinkedIn or creating secret groups on Facebook. I'm part of several different groups on Facebook where we consistently share information in the hopes of helping the members of our group to become smarter and more knowledgeable, whether it's a work platform or it could be just a community for local individuals, or I'm part of one group that's an international group, and we're consistently sharing information on the best ways to travel, the best restaurants in airports, you know, those types of information that allow us to learn and grow. And what I'm really interested in wondering, is there a true benefit for the employee? Are there any drawbacks for the employer or for the employee? What are you starting to see that is going to really highlight what's going on in collaborative learning?
Yeah. So I think I'm going to continue real quick on that previous thought. So you had the one realization that people are already using platforms and employers have to find a way to participate in that cycle versus try to change that cycle. The other realization that tackles both questions is that oftentimes the knowledge or the expert or the relationship we need to tap doesn't sit inside our own organization. And so most enterprise knowledge sharing platforms, collaboration platforms, have this artificial wall that says, hey, only people who are inside our organization can participate in this domain. Right off the bat, you've introduced a barrier to adoption because the conversations people need to have are not with people inside the organization. So immediately that channel becomes an unsuitable channel for what employees need to accomplish. So they're going to go off and they're going to continue the conversation via email or Skype or some other collaboration platform.
Right.
So tapping into that, you get into another issue, and that is oftentimes we're artificially fragmenting populations that need to collaborate and share knowledge with one another. Why do employees, customers, and value-added resellers need to learn the same content separately? Isn't there a benefit to all three parties for all three groups of folks to come together and to collaborate on that knowledge together? Would not understanding the frustrations and the pains of the customer help the employees develop better products? Would it not help the value-added resellers develop better services? By siloing the conversations around knowledge, we restrict the ability of the entire ecosystem to evolve. And so that's really what we're trying to do at Brave New Talent, is tackle both of those issues. Accept that individuals already share knowledge and already have channels, and find a way to tap into those channels and to curate from them the knowledge that people are sharing, and to build a greater conversation around those knowledge objects by uniting all of the stakeholders that have an interest in that knowledge in one common environment.
That's an incredible benefit right there for any organization, to really bring those three sources together. Are you seeing any drawbacks or, you know, any detriment coming from any of this collaborative work?
There's perceived drawbacks. And you get this in the adoption of any new technology.
Sure.
And, you know, the perceived drawback is, oh, my God, we're going to let our intellectual property walk out the door.
Oh.
Well, I've got it for you. It walked out the door long ago.
You hired someone. As soon as a mobile device was brought into your building, like, right?
Hello, people are leaving your organization after 18 months of tenure. They're walking out the door with lots of intellectual property.
That's right.
And they're going
That's
to your competitor.
Right.
So this notion of trade secrets, sure there are in highly scientific disciplines, there are still trade secrets. But
sure.
Let's be completely honest. If you're a hospitality company, you have no trade secrets. If you're a food service company, you have no trade secrets. So
if you're a recruiter, you don't have any trade secrets. Right? If you're a recruiter, I remember when we first got in, I first got into recruiting, everything was so secretive. Don't talk to other recruiters. Don't let them know what your client list is, right? And that's changed completely because of social sharing and social learning.
Absolutely. And if you want to speak to the real value or the benefit, a number of years ago, Cisco Systems, the networking company, not the food service company, started something called the Cisco Learning Network. And the Cisco Learning Network was a business initiative that grouped employee development and training, customer training, Cisco Certified Network Engineering training, and customer support into one common platform, allowing those audiences to engage with one another, to support one another, and to address one another. Today, the Cisco Learning Network is a $1 billion business.
Yep. Yep. And I'm going to tell you that this is extremely important to the next gen workforce, right? They are seeking opportunities that allow them to have a little bit more flexibility in whatever it has to do with work. Can I work from home a couple of days a week? Can I bring my mobile device? Is there leadership development? Is there an opportunity for upward mobility? Do you care enough about me that I should invest myself in your organization? And this type of practice, the opportunity to learn, to share, to grow, and then do it all over again, is going to change the next-gen workforce's opinion and perception of your organization. For several years, we've been talking about community, right? I remember when Facebook first was big, when we first thought, oh, this is big. It's not going away. This isn't a MySpace. It isn't just for friends and family. It can become a professional network. And there were so many different technology companies launching and talking about online communities and the difference that it will make to your organization or to an industry. We can learn from each other, right? I don't think we attached learn to it back then, but it feels like this is just an evolution, and not just an evolution, but the right evolution of what community meant 5 to 7 years ago. What do you think? Are we experiencing an evolution? I mean, we've seen it with Brave New Talent. Your organization has made a turn. And it feels like the right shift. What do you think?
It has. I mean, we've certainly made our share of mistakes. And I think even the highly successful community platforms have made their share of mistakes. And the biggest one is that we haven't, in technology, it's very easy to get sidetracked and to build the technology that's easy to build. It's
that's true.
It's much, much more difficult to build the technology that enables your customer to achieve what they want to achieve in a manner that is natural to them. So, you know, allowing an employee of your organization to connect 35 different consumer-level tools to an enterprise profile and to curate from those channels and to identify what is work relevant and what is not, that's complicated. But it acknowledges real user behavior. And you have to build those tools. If we look at, and I'm not going to call out any particular tool, but there is a collaboration platform that started out targeting small work teams inside an organization, and once they had a significant foothold, they went after the enterprise account.
They sure did. I know exactly who you're talking about.
That platform, if you look at their strategic plan, it's to connect to as many enterprise systems as possible and to automate status updates about employee activity in those platforms so that my news feed would be, Rayanne updated this document in this system.
Right.
Rayanne issued sales quote on ba-da-da.
Right.
That's a newsfeed full of noise. And
it
has
just crap.
Zero value. None.
Right. Well, so, specifically if we're talking about learning or development or growth or, you know, identifying future leaders for your organization or opportunities to train somebody in a cross-functional team where they could really add to the organization.
we're focusing too many of the early platforms focus too much attention on sharing transactional activity. Where in reality, I want to capture the fact that you sit in the sales team that's targeting a new market in Latin America, and you started running a number of structured searches on 13 different knowledge concepts that are specific to Latin America. And
yeah.
By doing so, by finding the content that you're bookmarking, that you're sharing, you are, in essence, in real time, building a course on those 13 knowledge concepts that has contextual relevance to our organization, because you're sharing it with our organization, you're commenting on it, and you are vetting that content against the real-time environment. So that body of knowledge is constantly growing and changing far quicker and far more contextual than any course a traditional training and development organization could develop, even with a significant amount of time.
Right.
I want to capture that. And when my organization needs an expert in Latin American application of our product with a particular customer set, I want to be able to find that. And how I find that is by finding people who have consumed knowledge on those subject matter. That's how I discovered people with talent and opportunity in today's market. I find people who are learning about things.
Right. And well, and maybe those people that are right sitting next to you. Right? Maybe you didn't know that somebody down the hall actually has knowledge or background experience that would benefit a particular team. Right? And I think we miss these opportunities, and what a great time that we are living in where we can start to identify and tag individuals that can actually help take your company forward. And really, we can only do that by taking them with us and identifying how they can help and benefit us as well. It's got to be mutual. It's got to be a mutual collaboration, which is what collaboration means. But I think there's been so much broadcasting going on and not enough dialogue. And I think that this type of learning, the peer-to-peer social learning, collaborative learning, is going to provide those opportunities. I told you we would run out of time, Master. There's far too much for us to talk about. Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to add before we hit our my quick hit faves that I always ask every guest?
No, I think that the thing that we just all need to acknowledge in HR is we're about driving the productivity and the capability of the organization. And that's about influencing people to do what they're capable of doing and empowering them to do that. And that's an individual first strategy, not an administrative first strategy. I think the future of HR technology focuses on enabling the individual, not enabling the administration.
That's so true. And I've been speaking with Master Burnett today, who is the Director of Strategy over at Brand New Talent. You can find him on Twitter at Master Burnett, MasterBurnett. You can also follow Brave New Talent at Brave New Talent on Twitter. It has been an absolute pleasure to have you today. Thanks for joining me, Master. And this is my attempt at collaborative learning for me. I love to hear the different things that are out there in the world, including food and places to go. So I always ask my guests four questions. So what is your favorite food?
Northern Italian, Southern French cuisine.
See, now we're going to have a deeper conversation because I need to know a little bit more about that. I've got Italy in sight for the next year or so. So we will definitely talk more about that. And what is your favorite book that you've ever read or that you're reading now that you'd like to share with us about?
I am not a huge reader of books. So my default would probably take me back to On Walden Pond.
Oh, beautiful. Now I'm going to have to reread that. What is your favorite place in the world? And this could be a room in your house, it could be a park close by, or it could be a remote destination.
South Island of New Zealand.
Now that's on my list. And last but certainly not least, what is your absolute favorite thing to do?
Cook.
Ah, and is that the Italian cuisine you spoke of? You like to cook that?
Well, having spent time in now close to 57 countries,
wow.
I cook food from around the world. Oftentimes when I'm traveling, I'll encounter something that has a unique flavor profile or a cooking method that I think I can replicate at home, and it just becomes part of my repertoire. So
I love that.
While when I have time, I tend to really fall back to the slow braised meats and appreciation of fresh ingredients. That's very common in Northern Italian and Southern French cuisine. You could very quickly find me enjoying stinky tofu or very odd cuts of meat that I may have encountered in Asia. So in reality, I think I consider myself a global cook, and I often find myself mixing cuisines and cultures.
Well, there you have it. The final word is always be learning. Master, thanks so much for joining me today on HR Latte and wrapping up our series on the employee experience. I really appreciate you taking some time.
Thank you.
And that's it, folks. We'll kick off our series for the candidate experience next month, and I hope you'll join me then.